The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the ESPN FC studios in today's edition of the show. Alongside Craig Burley, I'm Sebastian Salazar. Shaka Hislop going to join us in just a little bit to look ahead to the weekend in the Premier League. But before that, you'll hear from Archie Rintutt and Stuart Robson. There they are. Had them keeping an eye on the, well, keeping an ear on the holiday music and keeping an eye on Borussia Dortmund and Union Berlin, the one game in the Bundesliga on Friday, in a match that did not go Dortmund's way, despite the fact that the possession there says they had 70% of the ball. Union Berlin, 2-1 winners. Youssoufa Moukoko, the 16-year-old for Dortmund, did get the lone Dortmund goal. But other than that, a bad, bad day at the office for Borussia Dortmund and their new manager, Edin Terzic. Here's a look at the Bundesliga table as it stands heading into the weekend. Dortmund, huge missed opportunity. They remain 6 points back of league leaders Bayer Leverkusen, 5 points back of Bayern Munich and RB Leipzig. All right, Craig, let's break this one down. I mean, where to start? Dortmund, we're brutal.
Well, they're lacking confidence, we know that. They've made a change at the top in terms of the coaches, so that's a big step. And that's going to take time. They've stopped keeping clean sheets, which was a factor for them at the start of the season. And I thought, oh, they've sorted this out. This is fantastic for them because we know how good and talented they are going forward. But they've always had an Achilles heel, which was been too open and letting goals in. Well, this season started, the Bundesliga season started, and they were really organised and rugged and really wanted to defend. And they've had some injuries. But they've lost that. They haven't kept a clean sheet now in 7 games. The last one was against Club Brugge. So that's a problem. No Erling Haaland at the other end. So that's a problem. They're having to lean on a young 16-year-old in Moukoko, which is a fantastic story, and we'll get to that. And on top of that, a lot of the other players in the team, particularly the playmakers, are lacking that confidence and lacking that sharpness and that killer instinct or killer pass. And when you put all that together with the lack of the defending we saw early in the season, then you're struggling to get results. And by the end of the weekend, they could be like, what, 8 or 9 points mm-hmm. off the top mm-hmm. of the table? Man, that's a big gap.
Robbo, what's wrong with this Dortmund side?
Well, when you watch them today, they weren't quite sure what they were trying to do when they were playing out from the back. You heard Craig talk about how many times they got the turnovers or gave turnovers away, which caused them a real problem. There was no penetration when they were playing forward. They couldn't get the front four into the game in the first half. I thought the young player, the centre-forward, played really well. Moukoko, he made 2 or 3 good runs. Reina was lightweight up on the left-hand side. Jadon Sancho is going through a really bad patch at the moment. He looks, every time he runs with the ball, he looks like he's going to give it away. And the two holding midfield players didn't make enough forward runs. The best player was So there's a lot of problems with Dortmund at the moment. And, of course, the set plays. One, they lose at the near post. The other one, 2 or 3 players were man-marking. I think Hummels was meant to be in the zone and come out and head the ball. He got underneath it and they find themselves 2-1 down. So there's a lot of problems for the manager to cope with at the moment.
RG, Dortmund were able to beat Bremen on Tuesday. And I saw at least from some Dortmund fans some optimism after that match, that they'd seen some change, some shift in the first match under Edin Terzic. I'm sure that optimism can't really exist after today's performance.
No, and I think we saw tonight that maybe it's not all Lucien Favre's fault. In fact, I think the person who you have to look more at in terms of responsibility is Michel Zorc, the sporting director. And the fact that before the winning goal by Union tonight, which came from that corner, there was a clip shown on domestic TV here of Michel Zorc hunched over, looking like he was praying that Dortmund could defend that corner. And that says something, I think, when somebody in his position is doing something like that. But I think that we don't talk enough about how this team's been built and how there is I would say, a lack of quality in key positions. I look at Manuel Akanji at centre-back. He's not been in good form really for quite a while now. Thomas Meunier seems like the kind of player that they bought at right-back just because he was available, not really as an adequate replacement for Achraf Hakimi. And you mentioned there in defensive midfield, I do think that Dortmund are lacking some drive there. Up front, it's almost like Erling Haaland will provide, and then one of the many young players that Dortmund have will hopefully slot in those three attacking midfield positions behind them. Marco Reus, though, also out of sorts. Lots of work for Edin Terzic to do, but I think that there does need to be some accountability from Michel Zorc.
Craig, we can talk about Moukoko in just a little bit. I think it's worthy of it. But something Rabo says there immediately sticks in my mind. Jadon Sancho, I mean, he really is going through it. Mm-hmm. No goals this year. We couldn't go through a show this summer without talking about 100 million Euro move. Is it going to happen? Did we get ahead of ourselves a little bit?
It's not just the no goals. It's the general performance. Mm-hmm. It's the touches. It's the positioning. It's the, you know, I don't ever feel that he's going to go past anybody. I don't, when the ball dropped at him in the box early in that first half, I didn't feel he was going to score. I don't think he thought he was going to score. It's kind of half-hearted. And, you know, like when you've got a youngster like Reina on one side and out of sort Sancho on another and a 16-year-old through the middle, as Archie said, you got to look at the people actually recruiting here and saying, am I giving these coaches enough? Because that's leaning on basically, I know Sancho's 20 now, that's leaning on teenagers, overly leaning on teenagers. I mean, Erling Haaland, who's injured, is hardly a veteran, is he? So, but Sancho, look, it is easy to have your head turned subconsciously by 3, maybe 6 months, but at least 3 months of constant speculation about going to another big club, because Dortmund are a big club, and going to another big club, a bigger club, in the Premier League, where you're from, and you're going to get that opportunity potentially. And we don't know what's in his mind, whether he was desperate to go or not desperate to go. I mean, he'll have said things. But whether that's a factor in whether he's not playing well, I don't know. Or maybe he's just doing what youngsters do. Mm. And they hit peaks and troughs. And we'll see it from Haaland when he's fit. And we're seeing it from Reina. And we'll see it from others that teenagers or youngsters have highs and lows. And the consistency is difficult. But I think it's probably a mixture of all of those things.
Rabo, what are you seeing from Jadon Sancho and how does he fix it?
Jadon Sancho at the moment is a player that's completely lost his confidence, and any player will tell you when you've lost your confidence you don't see the picture of what's around you, and every time he received the ball today I don't think he knew where the opposition was. He didn't know where the next player was. He was playing balls, hopefully getting them into the right areas, and they were intercepted. When he was running with the ball, he wasn't changing direction quickly as he does when he's at his very best. He's just got to keep playing. He's got to work hard in training. He's got to get that little bit of confidence, and once he has a couple of good games I'm sure he'll go on and be a great player. But at the moment, he's just not seeing the picture. His mind's all fuzzled and he's just not playing well.
Do you know, Robbo, I actually thought that staying at Dortmund was the correct thing for him to do because he's going to get game time. Well, he is at the moment. He won't if he keeps playing the way he has. But he's going to get enough game time this year. It's a big year because the Euro's obviously been postponed for 12 months, and he was one of the first names on the team sheet for Gareth Southgate, Robbo, up till about three months ago. But Southgate must be watching him now, and it's a big worry for the youngster that he's going to be probably still going to the Euros, but he's not a starter for England in this form.
Well, when you look at him play at the moment, you're not quite sure what his attributes are or what he's giving the side. He's not going past anyone with real pace. He's not picking out a pass. When the ball comes into him, he's not really getting it under control and linking up the play. So there's no aspect of his game that's playing well at the moment. But as you said, at Dortmund, he will get a chance. He's got to play better than he is at the moment, but he will get a chance. He'll play and he'll play, and he's got a chance to play himself out of this dip. If he went to somebody like Manchester United or Manchester City or elsewhere, if he plays badly on a couple of occasions, he won't play for another 7 or 8 weeks and won't be able to play himself out of that dip in form.
Archie, a quick word on Moukoko. I mean,
I just add.
Go ahead. Go on.
I was just going to say, with Sancho at his best, he wouldn't think about what he was going to do. He'd just do it. And when you are a player on that level, that is what separates you from players who are at mid-table, lower down in the table opposition. And I think he's being being read now by a lot of Bundesliga sides. And also, I saw him away at Eintracht Frankfurt live the other week, and he is this close to scoring in two situations, and he hits the bar against Cologne. I think the margins are incredibly fine here. I think he's played the most passes into the box of any player in the Bundesliga this season. So there are still very much elements to his game there, and I thought tonight he was actually bringing enough speed to his game, which I've not seen, and I've not seen that kind of tempo from him for a lot of this season. But yeah, as the guys say, work to do, but I think we should allow him a trough.
Yeah, we got to get a word in on Moukoko.
Look, I'm
16.
I'm amazed. I've said this in this show many times. I'm amazed at the age of some of these kids now playing at top level.
Yeah, but this kid isn't even 17 or 18. He's 16. I mean, he's young even by.
Listen, I can add. I know the difference. I know in between 15 and 17, it's 16.
You nailed that one.
I know I look a little bit stupid.
You're not done.
But it's not just that. It's the fact that these guys are able to come in and not play, you know, second, third tier football, but play elite level, top tier football and not look out of place. Do you know, it's not just the goal, but the way he took the ball in, his movement, his strength for somebody so young. And then we look at the goal where he made that little run down the channel and they took the strike so early. I mean, I think it's just an amazing achievement for a 16-year-old to be on the pitch at that level of football and performing like that. The only trouble is, he'll want to enjoy his goal, and he will, but he'd have wanted to enjoyed it with some sort of result.
Totally. The talking points all weekend in the Bundesliga will most likely
be Archie's jumper.
Yeah, well, Archie's jumper and the villain's chair from any Hollywood script that he's joining us from today. No, Saturday, we've got Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich. Casey Keller on yesterday's show promised us a good game for the neutral, which in big games so far this season across Europe, we really haven't had, Archie. Should we expect that, though, on Saturday between these two teams?
Well, I don't know. I thought Borussia Dortmund against Bayern earlier this season was pretty good. But I think that this is going to be better. I think this promises more because Bayer Leverkusen under Peter Bosch, no matter what, they will charge at you. And I saw them away against Cologne on Wednesday night with the best performance I've seen from any Bundesliga side so far this season. Three of the four goals that they scored were exceptional. And to be honest, I'd probably extend that to all of them. And such a high level of technical difficulty to score them all as well. But what impressed me most was the attitude of the Leverkusen players when it came to winning the ball back. And there was a scene with midfielder Nadim Amiri where he ran 50 metres with the ball, lost it, and then chased it back for another 50, and he celebrated hard after winning it. And it's that kind of mentality and energy that they're going to need to be able to topple Bayern. But I think that it's going to be a fantastic game, just given the way that both of these sides approach it.
Leverkusen Bayern Munich, a matchup at the top of the table. At the bottom of the table, we focus in on Schalke, who are now moving on to their third manager of the season. First, it was David Wagner fired. Now, Manuel Baum is out. Schalke winless through 12 games played with a minus 27 goal differential.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting tied at the top of the Premier League, Liverpool 3 points clear of Spurs as we head towards the weekend. A massive weekend with some huge fixtures for teams both at the top and bottom of the table. Craig and Stewart still with us. Shaka with us as well. You hear from him in just a second. Let's start with Manchester City, their visit to Southampton. Manchester City right now is in ninth place. If they drop points here, and we assume Liverpool will win, they could be 10, 11 points back of Liverpool by the end of the weekend. Can we call this a must-win, or at least like a must-not lose?
It's a must get their finger out. Time to start putting a string of results together.
Any confidence they'll do that, based on what we've seen?
I think their game lacks tempo. And I don't know if that's tiredness or the crowd. But I watched them play sometimes at walking pace, trying to walk the ball into the net with the perfect goal, with the five-a-side goal, with, you know, 16 passes around the box. And I think they just need to add tempo to the game and try and just kill teams off early, which they're capable of doing, but we're not seeing it. I mean, a draw with West Brom was the same, a good analysis of what they're doing. And they're lacking a front man. You know, he can say they don't need a striker all they want, but they do, because Aguero's getting older, he's having more injury problems, and I'm not convinced about Gabriel Jesus, so they need a front man as well. But they need to get going, and I think their game is all about tempo, and we're not seeing that.
Yeah, Aguero played on Tuesday, but again, doubt.
He's got a knock, but didn't he's train. Expected to be available.
Yeah, but still not for sure that he'll be.
And look, Southampton are a very good side. We saw it at Arsenal, although Arsenal were hapless. They're up there for a reason. They've got good results. They play a 4-4-2 at times. You've got Romeo and Ward-Prowse in the middle of the park. They'll want the ball, and they can pass the ball. And you've got Armstrong coming off the left. Adams will fight, and he's strong. And, of course, Danny Ings is a good finisher. On top of that, Theo Walcott's getting some confidence back. So this could be a good game. It could be a really good game.
Okay. Robbo, if you're City, Southampton probably not the trip you want right now. Who do you see winning this?
I think it's going to be a tie. I'm going to go for a draw. I think, as Craig just said there, Southampton, the players he mentioned, they're playing really well at the moment. They can play two different ways. They can be play deep and play on the counter-attack because they've got a bit of pace with Walcott, and Adams, I think, has worked really hard as the second centre-forward. And they can play attacking football. They can dominate midfield. They can get crosses into the box. The front two are working well together. But I'm going to go for a draw. I think Manchester City will play better. Craig's, again, absolutely right. They need more tempo in the game. And Rodri, I think, is the problem with them in that central midfield. But they also need to finish chances. If they'd have taken their two headers against Spurs, they'd have drawn that game. And if they'd scored those two headers late on, which they should have scored against West Brom, they get three more points or two more points. So take chances and play at higher tempo. But I think the game will be a draw.
Shaka, elsewhere, Saturday, Liverpool visit Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace at home took a point off Spurs last weekend, a threat that they could do that to Liverpool this weekend.
I think there is, especially when you consider Liverpool's away form in the league of late. In the last five on the road, they've not won any. They've managed to drop points at Brighton, drop points at Fulham. But somehow they managed to win, intersperse that with convincing wins at home, which you saw against Spurs this week. For me, Palace themselves, inconsistent. You mentioned the draw with Spurs, but before that, you lose at home to Newcastle, you beat Leeds. I think these are two teams who are inconsistent in this instance, and for me, I'm sitting on the fence with this one. I think it's going to be a draw again, Liverpool going to South London.
And once again, the Liverpool manager has been whining again about the talks, about the substitutions and the lack of it, and he wants five, and other managers are saying three. For God's sake, just give him five subs at Palace at the weekend, and everybody else can have three. If that makes him shut up and stop moaning about it.
Well, we won't use them. We know we won't use them.
Well, they didn't use any against it. I mean, apparently it's all about player welfare, but they didn't use any against Spurs because obviously player welfare was less important than getting a result. But come on. Carlo Ancelotti was out today and said, look, it's three subs. We just have to rotate a bit better. We have to be a bit more careful with the players. We have to rest some. And I know Liverpool have got injuries. I understand that, but they're not the only ones, right? They're not the only ones. They're the favourites to win the title. They're the league leaders. They've got good players. It's three subs, not five. They stop chuntering on about it.
Plus, he's got the early kickoff time, so you know Jurgen Klopp will be...
Oh, my God, it'll be the broadcaster's fault again!
In a good move. All right, let's move to Sunday. Top four clash, then, Robbo, between Spurs and Leicester City. We know Spurs like to keep things closed. We know Leicester City like to open things up. What kind of game do you think we get?
Well, I'm not sure that Leicester do try and open things up. They like to play on the counter-attack. They've got Jamie Vardy, who loves to break into open spaces. So I'm not sure who's going to take control of the game. And I want to see Spurs take control of a game or two. If they want to win the title, if Mourinho wants to win the title, he can't play defensive football and play on the counter-attack week in, week out. There's going to be games at home against inferior opposition, although Leicester are a good side, where they've got to dominate the game. They've got to show that they can take the game to the opposition. They can get crosses into the box. They can work it in and around the top third of the field. Play play their little 1-2s, but just do it much closer to the opposition's goal. I want to see Spurs play that way. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I can see both sides trying to sit that little bit deep and play on the counter-attack. It all depends whether Vardy or Song, who gets the better of the two defences.
I feel really, in this, whenever we do Tottenham now, no matter who they're playing, I do feel we should get Stevie on remotely. From wherever he is, I don't care if he's in a McDonald's, right? I don't care where he is. We should get him on because we know he loves Mourinho. Right? But you know, as Rob was said, you know, he's going to be thinking about one thing and one thing only, Mourinho, and that's Jamie Vardy, right? So he's not going to squeeze the game because he panics about that kind of player. So they're not going to change. And Rob was right. Leicester, not recently, but Leicester over the last 18 months, have kind of changed the style of the way they play. They were a possession-based team that liked to play nice football, get on the front foot, and now they've taken a back step a little bit and they're more reliant on the counter-attack. And I don't know if that's because they've got injuries and had injuries in key positions, particularly at the back, and Brendan Rodgers is a little bit more wary. So it's going to be a game of cat and mouse. But Leicester are a strange team this season. They go from a couple of good results to a couple of bad results. To a couple of good ones, they're really seesawing, and it'll be interesting to see if they can pick up, but I'm more intrigued by Spurs. Because, as you know, I think they've got the setup to potentially go close this season.
All right. Shaka, on Monday, Chelsea host West Ham, your beloved West Ham. Is this West Ham team good enough to take advantage of a Chelsea side that's lost two in a row?
The one thing over the years you can count on West Ham, especially when they come up against Chelsea, and a Chelsea team that needs a result, is that Chelsea are going to get it. And I think this is absolutely no different. Chelsea need a result, given their own recent results and wanting to keep touch with the top of the table. And more times than not, and listen, it hurts me to say this, West Ham have done them a favour. When West Ham need a result, they've sometimes got it. But that's not the case this time around. I think Chelsea get all 3 points, just given that.
Interesting, Craig. I wonder what you think of this. I know sometimes we throw stats out the window, but against teams above 12th in the table so far this season, Chelsea, 0 wins. We talk about them like title contenders a lot. I mean, that stat says they're not.
No, well, they should be with the squad they've got. Because we saw them go to, was it Sevilla? I think it was, with basically a changed about 10 players. It might even have been 11, I don't know, I can't remember. And went there and hammered Sevilla. And you looked at them and thought, wow, that could be the starting 11 at the weekend. But we knew it wouldn't be, but it could have been. I mean, that's how deep this squad is. So the team selection at the weekend is going to be intriguing because clearly Lampard has been very unhappy with the two performances. The game at home, the game at Everton, and then the game against Wolves, where they had lots of possession, particularly in the Everton game, but they lacked a cutting edge. So I'm not as convinced about this result as Xhaka, because I think David Moyes, for most part this year, his team have played a back three with Creswell on the left-hand side, Moussaka out there, with Declan Rice and Suchek in the middle, and they've looked really compact, with Bowen going down the right-hand side. And yeah, they've missed Mikel Antonio up front. I mean, Halle got himself a great goal the other week, but he's not the answer. But they've got a good shape, West Ham, and I think there's a bit of belief in David Moyes again, and I actually think this is a big test for Chelsea. I mean, if they were to go 3 games with 3 defeats or not picking up points, that's even more of a head-scratcher for Frank Lampard in terms of what's the correct balance of his team. Timo Werner's been out of form. Kai Havertz is yet to light it up. Who does he go with up front? Is it Abraham or is it Giroud? How does he mix it up? And these are all questions that I think Frank Lampard's trying to figure out again. After seemingly finding a good balance to his team, he's now scratching his head again.
Rabo, I'd be making a mistake if I didn't come to you on Arsenal. They play Saturday away to Everton. Any confidence that Arsenal can dig out of the funk that they've been in this match?
Not from what we saw in the first half against Southampton, when they sat deep, they allowed Southampton to dictate the play. They look disorganised at the moment. They look frightened sometimes on the ball. They're not quite sure when to play out from the back and when not to play out from the back. You look at many of their experienced players aren't really performing. The younger players, like Saka, is the player that's really making things happen when he's playing on that left-hand side. they need something to happen and happen quickly, but I can't see it happening against Everton. Everton have won the last couple of games. They look a threat when balls are played into the box, and Arsenal want good defensively from set plays and crosses into the box. So I think it's going to be a tight game, but I think Everton will just about have enough against an Arsenal side that are lacking confidence and a manager that's not quite sure when you're young, when you're inexperienced, how to turn it round. He's looking for answers. He can't find them at the moment.
Arsenal then 15th in the table heading into the weekend, looking down at Brighton, Burnley, Fulham, West Brom and Sheffield United.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Top of the Serie A table looks like this as we head towards the weekend. AC Milan with a 1-point lead over the city rivals Inter. Atop the table, Juventus and Roma round out your top four. Stuart Robson still with us. Let's start with the Saturday matchup, Juventus against Parma. Where are we at with Andrea Pirlo's Juventus squad? They were rolling, then dropped points at home against Atalanta midweek. Cristiano Ronaldo even missing a pen. And a lot of folks, Robbo, saying it was his worst performance in a Juve shirt.
Well, I'll answer your first question. I'm still not quite sure where Andrea Pirlo's side are at the moment. They played brilliantly against Barcelona in the Champions League, and I thought that would be the turning point. Then they were really poor against Atalanta. And to your next point about Cristiano Ronaldo, in the last three or four games, apart from taking penalties, he hasn't provided too much other side of his play. He's not been joining in with the build-up play. He's not been linking up the play. He's not going past people with the ball. It's been very poor from him. And the two key players in terms of the attacking players have been Weston McKennie, with his runs from midfield, and Morata, the centre-forward, who's playing really well at the moment. But Cristiano Ronaldo has to do a lot more.
The team trying to dethrone Juventus atop the table. AC Milan right now, they have a visit on Sunday to Sassuolo, who's been kind of the surprise package so far of the Italian top flight. AC Milan could, Robbo, get Zlatan back. And for a while, we were saying they hadn't really missed him. Then in their last two matches, they've dropped points back-to-back.
Yeah, they've missed him, not because he's been totally outstanding, but they've got a focal point. When Rebic plays up front, they miss him out in the wides, because Rebic has had a great understand with Ibrahimovic. Calhanoglu is still the key player, just playing in behind, but they rely very much on the two central midfield players, Kessié and Benacer. Benacer's been out for a little while, so Tonali's come in and hasn't really performed as well as he should do. But if Ibrahimovic comes back, it allows Rebic to play a little bit wider, make those forward runs, so I think they're a better team when Zlatan is playing.
Also on Sunday, we've got fifth place Napoli against ninth place Lazio. Napoli in some injury trouble. No Dries Mertens, no Victor Osimhen. How big a concern are those two absences for Gattuso?
Well, there's another one. Osimhen, is a big miss, because he's the one that led the line right at the start of the season. Dries Mertens has tried to play as the false number nine, but hasn't done it quite as well as he did in previous times. Insigne got himself sent off, so he can't play. So I think Petagna has to play up front. They've got to have a focal point. They've got to get players running off of him. Lozano's got to come to the fore. He's done okay out on the right-hand side. And they've got a good midfield. They are quite creative in that midfield area. So Napoli is still a good side, but they need that focal point up front. And Petagna has to come in and play well.
Of course, here on ESPN Plus, we'll have studio coverage wrapping around that match on Sunday afternoon. One last game to talk about on Sunday, Inter against newly promoted Spezia. I don't assume Inter will have too much trouble here, but it was interesting to hear Antonio Conte's comments leading up to this match, basically saying obligation. He was asked if Inter are now obligated to win the league now that they're not in Champions League or Europa. He said obligated. He kind of laughed at the question. Robbo, surely they're obligated now to win the league with all the investment, the fact that they're no longer in Europe, right?
if they don't win the league this season, it's going to be a disappointing season for Inter. Out of the Champions League, didn't play at all well. But I've still got to worry about Antonio Conte and this Inter side. They're the leading goal scorers. They look as though they can score goals for fun or certainly create chances. They get their wing-backs high up the field. They've got a good partnership. They want more out of Lautaro. But defensively, I think they've been quite poor this season. They look as though they're vulnerable on the counter-attack. They haven't got enough defensive qualities in that central midfield here. They'll have too much for Spezia. But going forward, Inter have to tighten up in midfield defensively and tighten up at the back. They'll score goals, all right, but they've got to be better defensively.
Thank you very much, Robbo. Here's a look at the Serie A schedule for the weekend. One game we didn't get to, but still a big one on Sunday. Atalanta in eighth, host Roma, who are in fourth. Roma looking for a third straight league win.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Some news out of Major League Soccer as we head towards the weekend.
Oh, there's a news about Herc's jacket.
It is. Quite noteworthy. Noah, how about Gabriela Heinze, a longtime Argentine international, is taking over as Atlanta United's next manager. Atlanta clearly trying to replicate the success they had then under Tata Martino. And one more bit of news, American soccer related, Weston McKinney, at just 22 years old,
yep,
is your U.S. Soccer Male Player of the Year.
I didn't know you had that award.
Yeah, well earned for the young midfielder.
Learn something every day.
From Juventus. I like to bring that to you.
But he is doing well. That's been a really good move for him, hasn't it?
Absolutely. All right, that's all the time for us. Fear not, Extra Time is next. We take your questions straight from Twitter. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into a Friday edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. Craig Burley, very happy to be here in the studio with me.
I saw you tweet out earlier if there were any questions, and I really put, please send some decent ones in.
You know, I think we got some decent ones today. I think we got some decent ones.
Yeah, maybe people do send decent ones in and our filtering department.
Oh, we have a filtering? Oh, is that what we call the producers? The filtering department?
Filtering department, Aaron. Not giving us the best ones.
We've got Shaka Hislop, Stuart Robson with us as well. First question comes from Liverpool Royalty.
Shaka's just come in from a run.
Yeah? Good. Okay, that's why he's out of breath. Why was Hansi Flick denied the FIFA Best Men's Coach Award? I mean, Klopp's Liverpool did win the Premier League in 2020 by a considerable margin, but surely winning 5 trophies can outshine that. Robbo, what do you think? Should Flick have been the manager of the year?
I like Hansi Flick. He turned Bayern Munich around when they were struggling under the previous manager. He won in a certain style. They played some fantastic football. They defended like nobody else had defended up to that point with that high offside line. And he turned them around. So I would give it to Hansi Flick. I'm fed up with Klopp's moaning and whining, a bit like Craig is. So, give it to Hansi Flick.
Should have been denied it just for that.
That's a tiebreaker
Do you know what should have happened? Jurgen Klopp should have turned up, but he probably wasn't. If it was an event that he had to be there,
no, it was, they had him on.
They should have handed him 5 subs. So there you go.
So what would he have done? Used them.
There's your 5 subs. And look, also, they should have made the event an early kickoff event.
Right.
You know, just 7 o'clock in the morning or something, just to annoy him even more.
Yeah, I love it.
Bayern, he turned that ship around.
Klopp had a great season, whatever.
So what was it? Who votes in these things? I mean, some of the plums that vote in these things, don't give it the time of day.
All right, next question I love. Gentlemen, what usually happens behind the cameras when a player is sent off? Is he confined to the dressing room and all he can do is wash up and wait for the match to finish? What was it like to be sent off in your era? Any interesting stories or dressing room shenanigans? World Cup, what happened to you guys sent off?
What happened?
Yeah.
This gentleman wearing black, he went in his pocket and he got this red thing, right? So I walked.
No one ever takes me seriously on the show until Craig takes me literally when I don't.
No, so I'll tell you what happens. So you're not allowed to sit on the bench. So I went straight down the tunnel. We were losing anyway, 2-0, so I didn't really give a stuff. And so I went in, had a shower, came out, had a cup of tea, some biscuits are lying around. So I thought, oh, I'll have some biscuits. And then I just sat in the dressing room and waited for my colleagues to come in off the field.
All right.
So and then I sat there and said nothing. What can you say? Well, you know, it's happened.
Robbo, any crazy sending off stories and maybe what happens after you leave the pitch?
Yeah, I only got sent off the once, and that was on Boxing Day when I was just 18 against Tottenham, and I committed two horrendous tackles, one on Graham Roberts, which I think pleased most Arsenal fans, and I got standing ovation as I went off the field. Unfortunately, with 10 minutes ago, we were 1-0 up, and we won the game 2-0. I was waiting for Don Howe to come in at the end of the game, and I knew what was coming, and he pinned me against the wall, and don't ever do that again. You could have lost us the game, all that sort of stuff. And as an 18-year-old, I didn't do it again, so that was a good lesson learned.
Shaka, any good red card stories?
Yeah, first of all, I've been sent off more times than Robbo. I've been sent off twice in my career. The first time, playing for West Ham at home to Chelsea, we actually had three players sent off. I was the second of those. The first was Ian Wright. Ian Wright got sent off in the first half. And as it turned out, which I found out after the game, Wrighty walked in, kicked the door in for the referee's changing rooms, went into the referee's room and totally ransacked it. Totally. And then the stewards went in after Ian Wright left the room, obviously. They went in and tried to tidy everything back up and hang all the referee's clothes back up and their pegs and whatnot. But they realized something was wrong because all the wrong wallets were in the wrong jackets, and they realized something was totally wrong and reported it to the FA. And that's how it came out, what happened, that Ian Wright just went in and totally turned their dressing room upside down. West Ham got in trouble as a result, despite them trying to keep it quiet. That's as good a story as I can give.
What were you sent off for, Shaka? You said you were sent off twice. What were you sent off for?
But that one was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank got clean through. I come out. He tipped it around me. I didn't make contact. I protest my innocence to this day. But Jimmy Floyd, being Jimmy Floyd, went over rather theatrically. He got sent off. As I said, that was his second sending off in that game. Steve Lomas was sent off later on. And then my second sending off was played away to Middlesbrough. And what was there? They had a Colombian. What was his name? Up at Borough, striker.
Hamilton Ricard.
Clean through.
Yeah, Hamilton Ricard.
That's the one.
See ya. Hey.
He ball gets played over the top. I come out. He gets there before me. I'm just trying to block his path now. He drills it straight at my face. Instinctively, I kind of put an arm up, block it. Referee set me off. Uriah Rennie was the referee for that game. From the time I handed the ball, I just turned and started walking straight off. Yeah, just turned around
Shaka,
in time to see the
Shaka.
Red card. So that was two.
Shaka. I think this sums up your career. Clumsy and a coward. I think that sums up the two sendings off.
Wow, Robbo. Off the top rope, out of nowhere. On that. Okay.
Wow. I did get sent off.
Moving on.
I did get sent off another time. It was right at the end of my career when I went to Dundee, but I must admit, I only got sent off on that occasion because I wanted to get an early train back to Nottingham.
So you actually had a plan for what you were going to do afterwards.
Yeah, I needed to
leave the stadium before the game was over.
There's a rumor.
Really?
No, I didn't know.
I'm not. Had the cab waiting and everything.
Quickly, what does Robbo make of that? I'd like to know what Robbo makes of that.
Yeah, how do we sum up Craig's career in two words?
I fully understand why he wanted to get home early. He's got a lovely wife at home. That's why he wanted to get home.
Oh man. This is
so what was he said? What was it he said? Clumsy and a coward.
I'm a coward, man. So you're gonna have to change that Twitter profile.
I'll blow that.
That's harsh. Anyway. Alright, Robbo, who's been more influential to AC Milan's success so far this season? Bennacer or Kessié?
Kessié. Kessié has been absolutely magnificent in midfield. He's been one of the star players of Serie A. I always thought he was just a dynamic player who got from box to box, but he's shown good quality on the ball. He's shown great understanding. He's learnt the game over the last couple of years. He's more disciplined. He's been really, really good for AC Milan, and he's one player they can't afford to be injured. Mm.
Shaka, why don't we get to see more goalkeeper managers? They have the best view in the ground to analyze how a game progresses. Surely that must help them develop a tactical manager brain by the end of their careers. Do you have a tactical manager brain, Shaka?
It's a game-wide goalkeeper bias, Sebastian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a conspiracy.
You see that play out daily. That's right. You see that play out daily. On ESPN FC.
They could stand there. They could
keep a bias, I
They could stand there for 90 minutes, 24 hours a day, and they would not have a clue what's going on. Mm. They were born without brains in their head. They didn't have brains. They can't, you know, they can't compute. I mean, they can barely get the gloves on.
Goalkeepers can't even train with their teammates.
That's why you don't. A goalkeeper could look at a field. A goalkeeper could be stood on the bench, looking onto the field, and he just wouldn't know what he's looking at.
No.
No, no, you don't, no. Honestly. He'd be looking at it, he'd be thinking, what movie am I looking at here?
Like when my wife takes me to like an art museum, I'm always like, what am I looking at?
You let your wife take you to an art museum?
You remember, I'm early in the marriage, so I'm all those things I'm still learning.
You need.
I need your advice.
I've
That's
got
exactly what I don't need.
You've got to put your foot down with a firm hand. With a firm hand.
So you let you,
firm hand.
Your
Let's...
wife takes you to the art gallery. Craig gets his wife to go to golf with him.
No.
She doesn't want to play golf. I gave her some left-handed clubs to try. She could use them.
Okay. All right, next question. Final question. Robbo, do you see sacking Arteta as Arsenal's best option to avoid relegation and turn things around? Or are there too many players currently at this club that do not belong at Arsenal? Can't help but think Shaka Mustafi had that list to name a few.
Yeah, there's a lot of players that aren't good enough to make Arsenal a better team. But at the moment, I wouldn't sack Mikel Arteta. I think he's got to be given a little bit more time. I'm not sure he's the manager that's going to take them to the very top. I still don't. But I don't think it would be the right time to sack him now. I don't think Arsenal will be relegated either. They'll probably end up mid-table or just above and then make a decision at the end of the season.
You don't think they're bad enough to get relegated, Robbo?
No, I don't think they are. There's much worse teams than Arsenal. They've got just about good enough players to get halfway up and maybe a little bit higher.
Wow.
You think so?
No, I don't think they'll be relegated. We shouldn't be having that conversation, really, about a club of that stature. But if they lose at the weekend and Brighton win, who are playing Sheffield United, they could go above them.
Yeah, they're 5 points, I think, from the danger zone right now.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, Arteta's not the guy you want in if they do get into a
relegation
trap, right?
No, Robbo's right. Look, there's some water to go under the bridge before they get to the stage of...
But are we just saying that because it's Arsenal? If anybody else was 15th in the table right now, we'd be talking about them looking at a relegation fight the rest of the way and playing like this.
Yeah, but you've got the players to be not where they are. But they're having a bad run. But I think the disappointing thing for Arsenal fans was the end of the season, there was some encouragement with the FA Cup and with other games about team shape, about little things he was trying within the games. But I think Stuart mentioned it on the show, he's searching. And when you search, you start changing personnel, you start changing shape, you start confusing players. And sometimes you just got to stick with something. I mean, obviously, when you have injuries, sometimes you can't. Or when you have an idiots getting sent off who are now suspended. But sometimes you're going to find a shape and say, listen, we're going to stick with this through thick and thin. We're going to work with it. And we're going to go to the training ground. And this is what we're going to do. But when you start chopping and changing every week, that's a worry and a problem.
Yep. All right,
that's way too much on Arsenal, by the way.
That's
been abysmal.
We saved it for extra time, for the very end of extra time. All right, that's it from
end?
Us here in the ESPN FC studios. Thanks to everyone.
We're in the B studio today.
This is the B studio.
Somebody's in our studio.
Someday we'll get in the A studio. You're going to go up there right now. You're going to go up there and clear them out, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'll clear it out.
All right, we'll see you on the weekend. Play more ESPN FC on your screen soon.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LectricEbikes.com.